Our chompers not only help us chew when we chow down on our favorite foods, but they also aid when we produce sounds and learn to speak. It's no secret that oral hygiene is a matter of utmost importance in almost every society. And even though we try and avoid it, we need to visit our dentists regularly for a checkup or a routine cleaning. And if you're lucky, you won't need a root canal. Sit back, settle into your seat, and let the Novocaine kick in as we sink our teeth into teeth on this week's episode of FYI.
Welcome to For Your Info.
English.
You got it. You got it. Another exciting episode of FYI, folks, and today we're going to take a look at teeth. And right off the bat, I'm going to start with this question. Are you like me? Do you dread going to the dentist? It's a necessary evil. Every time I go, I feel better. But just getting in the door is half the battle, and that's a great expression to start out with. Showing up is half the battle in life. So that means just going there, just being present, and you're halfway there. And thanks to all of you for showing up on this week's episode of FYI. We'll start out with the fact that teeth is an irregular plural, like foot and feet. Well, you've got tooth and teeth. And what about sheep? That's right. The plural is also sheep. We don't say sheeps. But we're not here to talk about sheep. We're here to talk about teeth. Let's kick off with our intro. I started off by saying our chompers not only help us chew. Now let's start with that word chompers. Chomp, chomp, chomp. I think the perfect translation would be piñones in Spanish. It means teeth, or really big teeth. So they not only help us chew when we chow down, and to chew is masticar, and anytime you're eating solid food, well, you have to chew your food. Your mom's been telling you that since you were a kid. And don't talk while you're chewing. You could choke. Hey, there's a lot of cha-cha-cha. The next word, too, to chow down. To chow down means to eat. Come on, guys, let's chow down. Let's dig in. These are totally native expressions, and if you want to sound like a native, try and incorporate them into your next meal, especially if you're going to have lunch with your English teacher or some of your fellow students. Next time you're chowing down, use the word. Let's chow down. Let's dig in. So when we're chowing down on our favorite foods. But that's not all they're good for. They also aid. And aid, think of this word, first aid, primeros auxilios. So to aid is to help. They also aid when we produce sounds and when we learn to speak. Of course, our teeth, our tongue, and the position of those all have something to do with the sounds we make. Just think about it. If you're missing a tooth, you might have a bit of a lisp. So if you have a lisp, well, that might maybe because you were born with a speech impediment. Maybe it's because you're imitating Daffy Duck because this is despicable. Or maybe it's because you're missing a tooth. So we all know that one little adjustment to the tongue, the lips, or even the teeth could change the way we speak. And it's no secret that oral hygiene, now I don't know this word in Spanish. For the life of me, I can't pronounce it. I can't. Well, in English, it's really easy. Do you guys know the group Kiss? I wanna rock and roll all night and party every day. Well, the bassist, his name is Gene Simmons. Well, just say hi to him. Hi, Gene. Oral hygiene. Yeah, that means keeping your mouth clean. Not just your teeth, but your gums as well. And that's an easy one to remember. Gum is chicle, right? Chewing gum. Well, just think, hey, wait, I've got some gum on my gum. And this way you can associate it and you'll never forget it. Because all of you already know the word gum. You just didn't know, or perhaps you didn't know the secondary meaning of it. And a shout out to my student David. We looked at this in class a couple weeks ago. And it's true. Oral hygiene is a matter, un asunto, of utmost importance in almost every society. Who doesn't value good teeth, good breath? And even though we try and avoid it, we need to visit our dentists regularly. Yeah, I know, I'm one of those people. I'm guilty as charged. I always put it off. And I'm going to send a shout out to my dentist right now while I'm at it. And it's great, just like any doctor, you go for a routine checkup, and in the case of your teeth and your gums, a routine cleaning. Because we all know that plaque builds up, and also you can get cavities, tooth decay. We're going to look at all this vocabulary as we get into this episode, as we sink our teeth into it. I know, I think I'm funny. And then I said, and if you're lucky, you won't need a root canal. And I learned that word in Spanish the hard way, because I needed one. I had to go to the dentist, and he said, you need an endodoncia. And I whipped out my phone, and I looked it up, and I said, the dreaded root canal. Oh, no! We even use this as an idiomatic expression in English. It's like getting a root canal. We say it for something that's really tedious, something that's a pain in the neck. And then I said, sit back, which is what you do in the dentist chair, settle into your seat, acomodarse, I think you say. That means get cozy, and let the Novocaine kick in. And Novocaine, I believe, is laughing gas. It's what the dentists usually use when they need to numb you. And to numb is a word with a silent B. In Spanish, it's entumecer. Yeah, I couldn't imagine going through any of those procedures without a little bit of Novocaine. And to kick in is to start to have an effect. And I already mentioned sinking our teeth into something, which is very similar to Spanish. So let's get started. You guys know the drill. I know. I'm on fire today with my jokes. Did you get the double meaning? Well, a drill is that thing you heard in the intro. Zzzz. But also, you know the drill means you know how things work. You know how we do it here on FYI. Also, a drill is an exercise. In our classes every week, we do drills. Speaking of, a shout out to all my patrons who make this show possible. They produce this show. And as a thank you, they get bonus episodes every week, PDFs with all the vocabulary and expressions, weekly classes with me, with an amazing group of students, and you can even get private classes with me. But all that's over on patreon.com/Alberto Alonso. And if you're on Patreon this week, I'm going to be sharing the dentist episode of my book, English Everywhere. It's got a lot of useful vocabulary, some that we'll look at here, and some that I might forget to mention. But I think between the two, you guys will have this down to a T. Not to teeth, but to a T. Hey, the jokes don't always work out. So I'd like to send a shout out to all my students on Patreon, especially my super duper students, Luis, Marta, Javier, Paco, and Roberto. And don't forget about the students who get a monthly private class with me. That's right, Carmen, Lina, Isa, Paco, David, Jose Maria, Patricio, and Edgar. And the community is growing every single day. So thank you, students. And keep kicking ass. Sigue arrasando. If you want to join our curious community, go to patreon.com/Alberto Alonso. We'll see you there. Oh, and if you don't have my books, you should pick up a copy. I've got 5 different books. I'll go in order so I don't forget them. English Everywhere, This Book is the Milk, This Book is the Milk 2, English on the Go, and my latest book, This Book is the Shit. You can pick them up wherever fine books are sold. So you know the drill. We usually start by defining the topic every week. So what are human teeth? What are their function, their purpose? Well, human teeth function to mechanically break down. That means to make smaller. So they break down items of food by cutting and crushing them. Have you ever played Candy Crush? Well, crush is aplastar. And what do you do in that game? You crush fruit. You crush candy. Hence the name Candy Crush. And all that cutting and crushing is to prepare it for swallowing and digesting, which are also connected to the mouth. They are all considered part of the human digestive system. Remember, guys, I'm not a medical expert. I'm just trying to give you 101, the basics. Humans have 4 types of teeth: incisors, canines, premolars, and molars. Each of them have a specific function. Let's see if you know what each one does. The incisors, what do? They cut the food. The canines tear the food. That means to rip it apart. And the molars and premolars work together to finally crush the food to make it swallowable. Also, the roots of the teeth are embedded in the maxilla, which we normally call the upper jaw in layman's terms. And the bottom teeth are part of the mandible, or what we would call the lower jaw. You know the movie Jaws? The shark? Doo-dum, 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 doo-dum. His name is Mandíbulas. Hey, they could have called him Gums, too. Tenía unas encías que flipas. And our species, humans, like most other mammals, are diphoidant. This basically means that we develop 2 sets of teeth. The first set is usually called primary teeth, milk teeth, or baby teeth, as we call them in the United States. They all make sense. When there are 3 different ways to say something, find the easiest way and stick with it. But I recommend you try and at least recognize the other ways of saying it. So let's see. I'm going to test your knowledge on teeth here. How many teeth do we have in our milk teeth, our baby teeth? How many are in that set? Again, this is an average. Some people are born missing a tooth or with an extra tooth. The average is 20 teeth. Usually these baby teeth start to appear or to erupt, as it's called. I like that. It sounds more dramatic. Well, around 6 months or so, they start popping out of the gums. And as we know, this can be very painful for a young infant. This process is called teething. And we use this expression in business, too. As you'll see, we have a lot of idiomatic expressions that have to do with teeth. But we'll look at those in the bonus episode, which is exclusively for patrons. So what are you waiting for? Anyway, getting back to the business sense of the word. Teething problems or teething pains are initial difficulties in a business, in a process. Problemas de arranque, problemas iniciales, problems that occur at the beginning of a process. But we'll look at more idiomatic expressions in the bonus episode. We'll also look at the one man who is responsible for making all Americans brush their teeth. Before him, such a small segment of the population brushed their teeth. And after him, the majority. A guy named Claude Hopkins. But we'll learn more about him in the bonus episode. We'll also take a look at those expressions, as I said. We'll look at some oral hygiene tips. Also some fun facts. And so much more. I hope you guys will join us in the bonus episode. If you want to give it a listen and you're not a patron, just contact me and I can send you the link and you can give it a listen for free. I'm convinced you're going to love the bonus episode every week. I won't even mention the classes. We have a blast in our classes. We were just talking about baby teeth, but what about your adult teeth? How many adult teeth does an average adult have? Did you say 32? Nice job. Again, give or take. Ballpark. Una estimación. I'm missing a couple right now. But I'm going to get the implants when I can afford it. But as we said earlier, you can't put a price on oral hygiene. And we'll see how it can lead to other more serious diseases as well. But we break those 32 teeth into 8 incisors, or your front teeth, 4 canine teeth, 8 premolars, and 12 molars. That's an average set. Now I have fangs. My canine teeth are fangs. I think you say colmillos in Spanish. They are what a vampire has. Here's a little trivia question for you. How many teeth do you think mosquitoes have? More or less than us? I won't make you guess exactly. That's impossible. Did you say more? That's right. Mosquitoes have 47 teeth. Again, these are averages. Let's take a look at other parts of the mouth. We already mentioned the gums, the tongue. It's important to brush your tongue as well, as we all know. That's where our taste buds are. Those are the things that make us taste bitter things, sweet, sour. We've also got the roof of our mouth, or the alveolar ridge, but generally people call it the roof of your mouth. We've also got our lips, as we said before. And what are teeth made of? I mean, are they bones? They look like bones, right? Well, although they're hard and white, they are made up of different materials than your bones are. One thing that makes bones stronger in this case is that bones can heal themselves over a long period of time, while teeth don't have the ability to recover from stresses. But don't underestimate enamel. It is one of the hardest substances in your body, and it's what coats your teeth. I love that word. Coat es hacer una capa, but also coat es abrigo. Makes sense, doesn't it? I love when things make sense because it makes my job as a teacher much easier. Also, I want you to look around at your friends next time you're having lunch or chowing down, or maybe you've already done it because you're very observant, but I want you to look at everybody's grill. Everybody's grill, that's a very native way of saying their mouth, their teeth. You'll hear it in a lot of hip-hop songs. But you'll notice no two mouths are the same. I'm not just talking about the teeth, the combination of teeth, lips, but even if you were to take the lips out of the equation and the tongue, teeth are as unique as fingerprints. And, as we've seen, they are an important tool in forensics. It's not just the size of your teeth, but the way they are arranged inside your mouth is unique to you and you alone. So you're special. Fly on, little snowflake. I'm just kidding. But that's kind of interesting nonetheless. And every human has their own bite that cannot be replicated by anyone else. Even if you've worn braces, and braces are these things that straighten your teeth. When I was a kid, they were made of metal. Now you can't even see them. They're plastic. I think even retainers have gotten more comfortable. The good news is there have been many, many breakthroughs in dentistry. Here's a little fun fact. Teeth are like icebergs. No, I don't mean they're cold. I mean that most of them are unseen. About a third of them are underneath the gum line. So there's much more to your teeth than meets the eye. And that's why it's also important to take care of your gums and your tongue. What do you think? The germs aren't going to jump from one to the other? Now, I'm unfortunate because in my family, we have a history of bad gums. Some people are prone to cavities, some are prone to breathing disorders, and some are prone to bleeding gums. We call it gum disease. It's a pretty logical one. But don't worry, your saliva is doing its part as well. That's a word you'll recognize, but it's pronounced a little bit differently. You say saliva, we say saliva. Well, you will produce roughly is más o menos. We say that much more than more or less. You'll produce roughly 10,000 gallons of saliva in your lifetime. Don't worry, Europeans. I know you don't know gallons very well. Let's compare it to swimming pools. That's enough saliva, enough spit, to fill two swimming pools. But I'm going to spit it out right now. Well, we use the same expression. Saliva is essential. It serves very important functions in overall health. And obviously, it makes food easier to swallow. It breaks it down, a word we looked at before. It also contains enzymes that aid in the digestion process. And how many times have you done this? You've got a little piece of something between your teeth and you use your saliva like mouthwash? Sure, it can wash away pieces of food particles from your teeth as well. Obviously, there's no substitute for brushing your teeth and using mouthwash and flossing. But if you're in the middle of a meeting and you've got a piece of jamon stuck in your teeth, a little saliva will do the trick. Saliva also contains calcium and phosphate, which help neutralize the acids in plaque. And plaque is what causes tooth decay. And if we rewind, people have been realizing the need to take care of their teeth, their oral hygiene, since back in the Egyptian days. Even the Greeks, in 500 BC, they were supposedly brushing their teeth in 500 BC. And these ancient Greeks, they didn't have the same toothpaste we have now. They used a mixture of iron rust, ooh, that sounds really good, and coral powder. But I guess since it was abrasive, it did clean their teeth. I just don't know if it's good to ingest rust. And they used these toothbrush-type instruments that they made of twigs. And a twig is a little stick from a tree. And even in ancient Egypt, and careful with that word, it's not ancient, it's ancient. Archaeologists discovered Egyptian mummies with simpler versions of modern-day braces on their teeth. So oral hygiene, straight teeth, white teeth have been a priority since the dawn of time. And if they aren't a priority in your life, we know it. You can tell when someone doesn't take care of their teeth. It's not exactly an attractive quality. And I have to admit, even though I brush daily, 2-3 times a day sometimes, I should go in for a routine cleaning more often. I should eat less junk food and drink less soda. So we could all do a little better to improve our oral hygiene. Because we've already proved the importance of it. Imagine going into a job interview and you've got dragon breath. That's a colloquial way of saying halitosis. I don't know about you, but when somebody breathes in my face and you can tell that they don't brush their teeth or haven't in a while, it's pretty nasty. Nasty is another way of saying disgusting or gross. But the ancient Egyptians knew this. They didn't only want to have clean teeth, but they wanted them to be straight as well. And now, teeth whitening is a big business. Oral hygiene in general. A shout out to my friend Mike, who works in teeth whitening. If you guys are patrons and you want me to send you a sample pack, let me know, and I'll give Mike your address. But also teeth whitening, like everything, it's got to be done in moderation. Because if you overdo it, well, then maybe you're bleaching your teeth and you're having the opposite effect. An example is in my case. I use a mouthwash from time to time with chlorhexidine. It's a chemical. And it's for sensitive gums. But I've been told many times to not overuse it because it will stain my teeth. So even the stuff that we're using to treat, we need to use it in moderation. And that's really a dentist who can tell you that. We can't be experts in everything. And our brother-in-law, nuestro cuñado, no es experto tampoco. Also, we're going to clear up a doubt over here. What's the difference between a dentist and an orthodontist? Because I remember growing up and hearing both. Well, both of them are trying to make your smile more beautiful, more healthy. And dentists cover a broad range, a wide range of oral health issues. Cavities, gum disease, broken, chipped, or missing teeth. And orthodontists are dentists that continued their training. In the United States, now at the time of this recording, it's an additional 3 years. And there, they focus primarily on tooth and jaw alignment. And I guess that's why when I was a kid, I remember if you needed a retainer or braces, the dentist would send you to an orthodontist. Let's talk a little bit about different kinds of teeth as well. Some people have an overbite. That means their front teeth, their top teeth, extend further than their bottom teeth. Some people have an underbite. That's the opposite. Some people, like my wife, I love you, honey, they have buck teeth. That's when your two front teeth are big. I think it's sexy. Some people have a gap in their teeth. I think Madonna has a gap in her teeth. Crooked teeth, I don't know if that's sexy. That's why you can get a retainer or braces. Straighten them out. Some people have fillings. You call them empastes. En inglés tiene sentido, rellenos. I remember my grandma, God rest her soul, Maria Lilia in Almería. She had dentures, but also in her generation, they didn't know the importance of oral hygiene. She was more concerned sewing clothes for her four kids because they didn't have a Primark around the corner or Zara or anything like that. So she didn't have any extra time to run to the local dentist. And if she wanted to go to the dentist, she would have to take a bus from the village to Almería, which was like, you know, a full day affair. But now things have changed. We know the importance of oral hygiene. Most people have access to dentistry in the Western world, I should say. And I think everybody, again, maybe you guys can prove me wrong. Is there a society that thinks that crooked, yellow, stained, broken teeth are sexy? Please let me know. But it's not just about the aesthetics and having good breath. But if you don't have good oral hygiene, you could have increased risks of Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, and even diabetes. And although that's pretty serious, as far as I'm concerned, the worst part is it affects your smile. And don't let anybody or anything take that smile off your face. It's the thing that draws people to you. Lo que atrae la gente a ti. And that reminds me of a joke before we say goodbye. What's the longest word in the English language? Smiles. Why? There's a mile between the two S's. And we'll wrap up with a quote from Tom Wilson. He said, "A smile is happiness you'll find right under your nose." And that's an idiomatic expression. It's like when you're looking for your car keys and they're right under your nose. Las tienes delante todo el rato. So now, understanding that double meaning, here's the quote again. A smile is happiness you'll find right under your nose. I hope this episode of FYI made you smile. And I hope you'll join us in the bonus episode of this week's FYI.